Blog Talk Radio.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Gritfish.
Good evening. It's 6:30 Eastern Time, and you're listening to Radio RF. I'm Dreadfish, still here with my co-host, ETOJ. In fact, we'll be here all week. Tonight, we'll be talking about the nature of community and relationships, and how they differ online and in real life.
Bro, I just wanted to clarify, I'm only here Monday and Thursdays.
Well, who was I talking to yesterday, then?
I don't know. It might be my cat. My cat gets into a lot of trouble.
Huh, okay.
I actually think someone used that as a defense once in Florida. A man accused, at least, I don't know if he got convicted, of child pornography on his computer, claimed that his cat had done it while he was at work.
Boy, yeah, you know, they say cats are out to get their owners. I mean, if that doesn't prove it, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I have a Facebook friend who's obsessed with weird news from Florida. And it's quite a lot of it, or maybe I just see a lot of it because I have a friend who's obsessed with it. I don't really know. Slightly relevant, since tonight's topic is online community. He's a Facebook friend who I know on Facebook and stuff.
That's true. Yeah, and there are a lot of different kinds of online community, too, each with their own upsides and downsides, I think.
That is true. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, I wanted to reference a few things from last week's episode. And at the beginning of our last episode on Thursday, I had talked about this theory I heard about there being two flags for the American flag. And I looked a little bit more into it when I had some more time. And it's still looking bunk to me. And I need to call up Facebook, so I posted it onto a friend's wall. There are some laws that were passed about the nature of what the flag would look like, as well as the flag being described matches that of the Civil Service flag, or that used by like the National Guard from time to time.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
If anyone knows more about this flag controversy, feel free to call into the show at 646-200-4733. I've almost memorized this number. I knew it was 646 before I even like flipped the tab over. That was pretty impressive, I thought. Last week, we also talked about, I'm still looking this up, so I'll get back to that flag thing in a second. We talked about gardening, but we kind of flashed it at the very end, and it was very undirected. So I think we'll be discussing that topic more often, possibly another episode. But I'm also making more likely, or at least definitely probably doing little segments here and there, especially for me. Gardening is kind of a thing that you do all the time when you do gardening, you know? It's a little bit here, a little bit there, small steps. And there's days that you spend the whole day gardening, of course, too. So, I know, I think as I continue to do things in my garden, maybe I'll just refer to that if that would be the most interesting. Again, I'm also looking, you know, interested in doing something a little bit more in-depth if people want to hear that or have questions or particular topics they want me to talk about. But otherwise, I might just actually reference you to my favorite if you talk about on YouTube, John Kohler at growingyourgreens.com. My wife just got really excited because he does these things where he starts every episode with, I'm John Kohler, and the most like,
he's like
yelling at you, but like with his happy voice. He's just like super amped up, like he drank like 1,000 Red Bulls or something, but he doesn't. He's all natural organic, but he just sounds so revved up about like organic gardening, and it's fantastic.
Nice.
Okay, so
yeah, we'll be doing a little bit more gardening coming up here. Actually, we just had some landscaping done. Got rid of some old beds of pine needles and got some nice looking mulch. The yard looks much cleaner now.
What color mulch? Is it red? It's dyed, you know.
Oh, no, it's not red. I think it is dyed actually, though, but it's brownish, dark brown. But they did mention that it might be dyed. I wondered about that, though.
Okay, so a brief history of the American flag. The Act of January 13, 1794, provided for 15 stripes and 15 stars after May 1795. And then there is the Act of April 4th, 1818, which provided for 13 stripes and one star for each date to be added to the flag on the 4th of July following the admission of each new state. And that was signed by President Monroe. And then there's the Executive Order of President Taft, dated June 24, 1912, which established the portions of the flag and provided for arrangements of stars in six horizontal rows, eight each, and a single point of each star to be upward. Whatever, it's a little bit too technical. Okay, so it depicts how the flag goes. And then there's a few more, like President Eisenhower provided for the arrangement of the stars a little bit more. He made them stagger. And then Eisenhower, again, he also provided for the arrangement of stars to be in nine rows. Oh, Eisenhower did a lot. Okay, well, this is a brief history. I'm going to leave it at those. Oh, that's it. That's what I have for it. Okay. And I got that from a link, so I'll provide that link in the episode description.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot about American history that we don't know about, I think. And I wonder if it's a thing kind of unique to Americans, or if people in general don't know a whole lot about their country's history, no matter where they're from. But, you know, I mean, besides the big stuff, I myself don't know too much about American history. So, you know, I guess it's important, but I'm not really sure, actually. I don't know how often that knowledge comes in handy on a day-to-day basis.
All right, you know, sometimes it's a harder question to answer than others. You know, so, I mean, it depends on how you apply that information. In a very literal sense, none. It has probably no value on your day-to-day life. But in regards to how you think about things and possibly ponder and just the way you interact with reality, it very well could be some of the most important information out there. And that being said,
yeah,
there's a lot you can learn from history about yourself and about society and whatnot.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's sort of the principle of the thing. You know, it's your country. You ought to know the past of it, I guess. That's kind of how I feel, but I haven't really felt it strong enough to actually do something about it.
I mean, also the big issue is that, you know, you have the history we learn that we're taught, and then the actual history sometimes. And when we know that, say, you know, to the victors goes the history, the spoils. But has part
it's
to do
true.
With it, I suppose.
Yeah, it is true. You know, history is written by the winners. I read a recent article on Cracked that was pretty interesting. It was about being a Viet Cong soldier. You know, one of the Cracked writers had gone and interviewed a guy who was a former North Vietnamese soldier. And the story he told, you know, way different than the way they're usually depicted, like, you know, being these jungle warriors, you know their ways through the jungle. They're really scary and stuff. And he said that a lot of the people he fought with weren't from the jungle. They're from the highlands. They were just as afraid of the jungle as the Americans were. And half the time they didn't know what they were doing. All kinds of stuff like that. It was really interesting to see a different perspective on that.
Yeah, well, you know, you get to glorify things for the way it's memorized to do the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something our current pattern of war in this country has kind of lacked. Is the ability to create glory about it. I mean, even look at any of our wars since World War II, there's lacking that, like, glorious, heroic aspect that, you know, we all know and think about war. And we still try to apply it to the wars, but we don't think about these wars as either of those things.
Yeah. It seems like, I guess it's debatable whether there's really glory in war. But it's kind of apparent that sometimes there is something like that, and it does seem like more recently war has become more gritty, and there seems to be less opportunity for those displays of heroism and courage, I guess. Fewer opportunities.
I'm not saying is what I wasn't necessarily saying is the nature of the person in war changed anymore in regards to glory or anything like that. I particularly meant that the public opinion on these things have been shifting dramatically. I think that's what to do with the particular nature of a war.
Yeah.
Anyways, I believe we have another caller. And who do we have here? Welcome to Radio RF.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Am I on? Hey, it's Dionysus. I haven't been listening to the whole show, but what's going on? You're talking about war.
Yep, talking about war.
Just like all the other media stations.
Yeah, Incidentally, we were talking about this in one of my classes, Technology and Society, and I had to do a little journal entry on a chapter about, you know, the development of technology and war and that sort of thing. And a lot of technology has been developed specifically for the purpose of war. When it comes to wanting, you know, greed for land and resources, but also the need to defend yourself, like that's a high priority for some people. And, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So it's interesting.
Yeah, they talk about it like it's for defense, but they've been saying since World War One that the industrial military complex is going to keep going and you won't be able to stop it, and people are going to create war for profit. And
yeah, one of the points.
Not that war was ever a good thing, but it's kind of a beast that's hard to kill at this point.
Yeah, a couple of points actually that related to that. One was that centralized states and the organization and standardization of military equipment reinforced centralization and nationalism, you know. And so, you know, war, you know, makes the state and the state makes war. And, you know, another thing, like with, you know, technology changing and tactics changing, we brought up, you know, like the glory type stuff like that, that, you know, and in older times, only combatants fought in wars, you know, and there wasn't so much of the collateral damage for the most part when it came to certain civilizations fighting. So it was really more about, soldiers competing against each other than it was about just this spread of destruction that things like bombs and other things like that have brought.
Well, I'm sure in certain cases that might have applied, but, you know, in war, you always had a lot of innocents, you know, being sacrificed. You always had rape, you always had slavery, you always had all kinds of collateral damage. If you really look throughout history and how different empires spread, or even just warring tribes next to each other, they tend to be pretty brutal and ruthless and not care too much about collateral damage.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the examples in this, they're specifically talking, I guess, not really war in general, but the specific battles going on. And the examples were usually the Greek civilizations and the Roman Empire. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to look at Genghis Khan and a lot of what they brought to the table. And if you look at everybody's DNA these days, and at least the rumor is there's a pretty good percentage that actually have Genghis Khan's DNA in their in their DNA directly. It's like he was my great-great-great-great-grandfather's father.
Yeah.
Raping hundreds of women a day. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take this moment and to change the topic, now that we've hit the rape topic, to the new segment of the day. And that is Features of RF. And today's featured feature of RF is the chat room, which you may have noticed is also sometimes called the shoutbox. If you view someone viewing shoutbox, that means they're in the chat room. And the chat room's a new feature to RF. Well, a new one that is actually connected to RF. And you can find that at the top of your screen, the link to it, just says chat room. And it'll even tell you how many people in the chat room. And there's currently 8 people in the chat room. And it's mostly the same people over and over again, but there's a large amount of people, and it's a very friendly atmosphere. So I'd like to encourage people who aren't coming to the chat room to stop by and say hi to us. We also have a thread, so if you ever want to be where is everyone, no one's in here, you can invite people to chat by posting in the thread, and I'll post that link underneath the episode when I edit it in. And there will be a lot of editing of the information underneath today's episode, because today's episode was planned today, because our original plans fell through, and we had to scramble some new guests, new topics, and new material for today's episode. And we did it in the chat room, so all of our guests were a part of planning today's show, so I wanted to thank everyone. And we have several guests, and we'll bring them on after our new segment. And we have Sunstone, we have Orbit, and we have Dio. How did I say your full profile name? I'm going to butcher it. Just say it again.
Dionysus.
There we go. Dionysus. Okay. So, again, the chat room. Check it out. Oh, by the way, this is a very important public service announcement. You get to pick the color of your letters in the chat room, and everyone needs to know that green is mine. Stay away. I have the green letters, and you can't.
There are many shades of green.
I'm going to say, I was on the chat room the second, literally the very first second it opened, and declared green was mine, and it's been mine since time began. And everyone except for Frankenstein apparently knows that, Mr. I'm typing in green. I don't even know if he's listening to us right now.
Yeah, I just saw that,
He's in trouble. But he's using a different shade of green, so I might overlook it. It's okay.
Well, I've got dark green, so.
Okay.
50 shades of green.
I can make that into a book. And then instead of being about bondage, it would be, I guess, about smoking hot, right? It is, I don't know. What you're doing.
Exploits and drug dealing.
Anyways, you want to introduce
really
more
of a
today's
continuum than a black and white, green and not green. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. So, like we mentioned, we have a special edition segment of Well-Named's 5-Minute Philosophy. So here, we will go ahead and play it for you.
We shall be discussing philosophy with your host, Well-Named.
G'day, ladies and Bruces. My name is Bruce, and I'm from the Philosophy Department of the University of Wallamaloo, Australia. And I'm filling in today for Well-Named for this special bonus edition of 5-Minute Philosophy. He'll be back on Thursday with whatever drivel he's got cooked up, I'm not quite sure. But today, it's just going to be me, and I'm not sure if we're going to make it the full 5 minutes. My wife would probably be skeptical. Well, anyway, let's move along. We're going to see how we can do. So today's episode, we're just going to sing a little song with my pal Eric Idle from Monty Python. Some of you probably already know what the song is. The rest of you are going to find out here shortly. But before we get started, I'd like to say shout out to my mates, Eddie Bruce and Dread Bruce, the hosts of Radio RF, two of the finest Bruces I've ever had the privilege. I've been drinking a little bit. Anyway, two of the finest Bruces I've ever had the privilege to be on the radio with. I'd also like to give a shout out to Lewis Knott Bruce, who's got a pretty strange name for an Australian, but he does produce the finest segment on this show, The Beatdown. I've got to tell you, in my opinion, a lot of these Bruces and Sheilas been calling into the show talking about globalization or religious this or politics that. Not sure they have any idea what they're talking about, but let Lewis Knott Miller, Bruce, whatever his name is, he seems to do a pretty good job. Anyway, so that's neither here nor there. I want to get to our song now. Eric Ida is going to help me out, but this song is dedicated to all the ladies of RF, but I'm especially thinking about Orbit and Deidre and Helvetios and FTNZ from the RF chat. Now, FTNZ, she's from New Zealand, if you don't know. It's a bit of a problem, in my opinion, but I'm willing to make it work if she is. Anyway, PM me. I'm serious. We can do this. so anyway, here's our song. Let's take it away, Mr. Idle.
Immanuel Kant was a real pissant who was very rarely stable. Heidegger was a boozy beggar who could think you under the table. David Hume could out-consume Schopenhauer and Hegel. And Wittgenstein was a beery swine who was just as sloshed as Schlegel. There's nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach about the rising of the wrist. Socrates himself was permanently pissed. John Stuart Mill, of his own free will, on half a pint of shandy was particularly ill. Plague to the sake, stick it away. Half a crate of whiskey every day. Aristotle was a bugger for the bottle. Hobbes was fond of his dram. And René Descartes was a drunken fart. I drink, therefore I am.
Nah, Socrates himself is particularly missed. Ah, lovely little think about a bugger when he's pissed. Ha ha, all right. Well, that's our song for today, and that's all the time I've got. So I love you all. Hope you have a good show, Eddie Bruce and Dread Bruce, and good luck, and we'll see you. I don't know when we'll see you, but goodbye.
So I just think about their time listening to it, and I'm still laughing. So thank you, Bruce, for that riveting section. What did you think, Dred? That was...
Well, I thought it was pretty good, actually. You know, he's got a very good Aussie accent like that.
I have an Aussie name.
That's right, Mick.
You know, and on Facebook, I actually go by Mick Dundee, mostly because I was protesting their whole real name, whole big controversy thing. So I was all like, yep, screw that. So I changed my name to Mick Dundee. And then one of our aunts wrote a wedding check to us to Mick Dundee.
Yeah, actually, when I first became friends with you, I actually thought that was really your last name. And then I remembered it was from Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, but Facebook hasn't made me change it yet, so either they think I'm a crocodile hunter or they don't really care much. Now, Facebook is I guess, a perfect example of an online community that supposedly blends in with, and I was doing air quotes when I said supposedly. I was hoping you could hear it by the tone of my voice, but in case you weren't, there was very big air quotes that supposedly. And I forget what they were supposed to do now. I just know they were supposedly going to do it. Oh, supposedly connect your real life to your internet life. And it does that somewhat. But, I mean, I think Facebook has become a big of its own beast, especially in terms of having Facebook friends. But there are other areas in which you can have online communities, such as this radio show and RF itself. Those are some perfect examples. Stretch, can you give any other examples of this type of stuff?
Oh, let's see. Well, those are two really big examples. We have the Facebook, and nobody uses MySpace so much anymore, but forums are pretty big. I've actually gotten online community through online games. I play League of Legends, like I've mentioned before, and ended up getting a group of friends, people I'd never met. We started doing Skype calls because it's easier to coordinate your team whenever you're actually talking instead of having to type. And, we ended up playing every day, and talking to each other and all that stuff and hanging out. And they've become actual friends, and I've never met them in person. But, I've gotten to know them decently. We're Facebook friends, and, they're good people.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd say you're a real friend, and I only know you through RF.
True.
You know,
yeah.
Here we are putting on a radio show together, though. How much more of a real friend can it be? Like, what do we do together? Like, how are we friends? Like, I'm making a radio show with you, bro. Like, how real does that
be? Yeah, and, we text and call each other whenever we're not doing the show and stuff like that. And, I think, like I've said to you before, like, I now think of you as, my friend in New Jersey, and we're both from the forums. And so, yeah. It's really cool, and I've actually Skyped with a couple RF members a few weeks ago, and that was really neat.
Nice. Now, I actually have a friend from Macedonia that I've been friends with now for 15 years. And, we originally met playing Warcraft 3 online, and we were friends for years. Eventually, we switched off to, email and phone, and then eventually you kind of lost track of each other for a few years. But then met back up on Facebook a few years ago. And, you're someone I've known literally for, 15 years now. And, talk to all the time, know a lot about. And, granted, I don't necessarily get the same opportunities to have him as with my other friends. But, the relationship is as real as some of the other relationships I engage with day to day. And it has the same amount of history to it, These relationships can last. So I wanted to start getting into some other goods before we talk too much more about our own experiences with online communities and ask for some of our guests' opinion on these topics. So Sunstone, you've been a part of RF for a long time. How long have you been a part of RF?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Sunstone. I've been here since 2004, about 2 months after the place opened up.
It's a long time to be a part of
it. Yeah, how did you find RF?
Well, I was on a little local forum for Colorado Springs, Colorado, and there came an advertisement. Nothing was happening on the forum. It was totally dead. I mean, you would go and you'd post something, and 3 days later somebody would answer you. And so a little ad came online one day that said, religious forums, check us out. And I said, I can't do worse. Clicked on that, came over to religious forums, and it just started up, and it was a lot more active.
Yeah, you say it's slowed down now compared to how it used to be?
Oh, no. Nowadays, this forum is bustling compared to how it used to be. You can't get online at any time, day or night, that there isn't somebody else online. Back in the early days, in the evenings or late evenings, nights, and early mornings, it was dead. There wasn't another single person online.
Well, it helps probably that we're probably reaching more of an online community or more of an international community now.
Pardon?
Or maybe it always has, I don't know. I'm only here 3 years.
Oh, yeah, it's much more international than it was originally.
So what other forms of internet communities have you belonged to? And do you feel they differ from some of your other forms of community you experience?
Well, RF is basically the only forum that I have a lot of experience with. I'm a member of a few other forums, but I've never really checked them out that much, just kind of signed up for the membership and then forgot about them. But the thing about RF that interests me as a forum is that I meet a lot of people. I mean a lot of people that I really like, much more than I meet in real life. You know, you go out and you meet 10 people in real life, you may like one of them. But on RF, if you meet 10 people, you like 5 of them. And maybe it's because we all have similar interests, you know, religion and things like that. But for some reason, RF seems to be a forum where I meet a lot of people that I enjoy.
I feel like RF is very unique in that respect. Like there are a lot of forums, and you know we've had plenty of trolls and just you know those kind of members join and then come and go. But I feel like RF is pretty unique in that we have a lot of genuine members and people form good relationships over RF. I mean, people have even met on RF and ended up getting together in real life and having good relationships with each other.
Yeah, I've gotten together with a couple people on RF in real life. Tumbleweed, who's no longer active, but he was active about 2 years ago. Turns out he lived in the same town I did, and we got together for several times.
Cool.
All right, thank you. We're going to come back to you on some other topics for tonight's discussion. I'm going to move on to Orbit for now. Hey, Orbit. So you're, I think, one of the newest members to RF we have on tonight. And is this your first form of internet community? Do you belong to others? And how do you feel internet community differs from other forms of community you engage in often?
Well, actually, Windwalker brought me to RF because we were on an ex-Christian site. And so I've only been on RF since October. But I took to it like a fish to water. I mean, it's a really great forum. The only thing that sometimes gets me down is, like Sunstone said, you meet so many cool people on RF and on forums that you're on, and I want to hang out with them in real life. But, you know, distance is too much, so it's really not practical. But on one hand, it's like the online community is great. On the other hand, it kind of frustrates me because I meet all these cool people that I can't hang out with.
Okay, I can understand that. Now, personally, I don't know, maybe if I'm antisocial in my adult ages of all 26. But there's something non-invasive about having online friends. You know, I get to hang out with you guys, like, every night, and it's completely non-invasive. Like, I'm watching a movie with my wife and RF's there. You know, you have dinner and RF's there. You know, I want to play a game and I RF's on the side. You know, whereas when you have friends over, they kind of dominate everything that's going on, and they're kind of invasive to, you know, you got to make a third plate of food. Your friend always is the one who talks over the movie. You know, instead of it being me, I'm the one supposed to talk over the movie. Yes, let me talk over the movie. I don't talk over movies.
Yeah, I found that it's nice. Like, you know, I'm not too antisocial or anything, or asocial rather, but I am a bit of a loner. I like to have my alone time, that sort of thing, but I do like to socialize, so it is nice to feel able to just chill out, quiet, but also talk with people, usually over chat. I like how I can, you know, chat live with people instead of having to wait for replies on posts and that sort of thing. But it is really nice just to relax and, you know, talk with people over that.
So, Dio, what do you think? Is this your first internet community? And how does it stack up to other ones? And we can think outside the forums, by the way, everyone. There's a lot of examples, and I'll get into that as soon as Dio's done. So, Dio, what do you think?
Oh, I've actually been on the internet since the 14.4 modem days, so I've had several different types of communities that I've interacted with online. I've got quite a few Facebook friends, a few different Facebook groups, some of which I've gotten together with in person, some I haven't. I've been on other forums. I was also on XC with Orbit, and we've got some other spin-off communities there where we've interacted in different ways and had video chats and things like that. But RF has been a really great community. I think it's real similar to the type of atmosphere that we have on the ex-Christian site. Pretty good accepting community where people feel like they have a lot in common, even when they have various religious backgrounds.
Yeah, it is nice, the diversity, that sort of thing that people have able to interact with on our app.
So now I said that I'd get you this when everyone else had a quick minute to talk on this particular part of it. And there's more than just forums and Facebook when it comes to online things, even things like Twitter or not. I think me and Dredd both kind of lightly mentioned it, but video games is a great way to have an online community. And I think it's also probably one of the best expressions of a way in which an online community can be real. So, I mean, sometimes I have friends over and we play video games. How is it any different than having a friend who lives halfway across the world with you play video games with every day? Except they don't.
Yeah, that's something my kids do a lot. Yeah, I think that can be a really good community builder because you're all working towards something. You kind of have a common goal that you're all, you know, you set this goal, you're building a team, you're showing teamwork and trying to accomplish something, and it can be a, you know, really good facilitator for building relationships.
Okay, so Dreadfish, I believe you said you've been studying something related to this in school. Is that correct?
Yes. It actually happened to my classes. Mainly, I have a class, Technology and Society, and we've been exploring, you know, the impacts of technology on society. One of the things we looked over was a TED Talk by Sherry Turkle, and she's a psychologist and sociologist. Works at MIT, and one of the things she's focused on for a while is how technology impacts our social lives and that sort of thing. More recently, her perspective has been more cautionary than enthusiastic, and this is an important point to bring up. I do believe there are a lot of positives to socializing online, and there are a lot of places where it can be very good, fulfilling, and holistic, but there are also ways in that I think it can be detrimental to our lives in general and also the way we socialize. Facebook is a good example in that, like in and of itself, I think it's a good tool, and it's not just, you know, inherently bad, but I think a lot of people use it in the wrong way, and it's detrimental. You know, we've got friends, quote unquote, on Facebook. You know, lots of people just collect friends, basically. And with stuff like that and texting too, younger people are, they don't learn how to use eye contact and socialize in person. And so for some people, this is, yeah, like people are socializing through technology at the detriment or to the detriment of their actual in-person socialization. And usually in this way, these socializations through technology tend to be more shallow, and you know, they don't really touch on the real relationship of you know, the way we do whenever we're talking in person. But I think RF were able to do that pretty well. But what were you saying about the doorbell?
Yes, I guess I'm someone who does this now. I was once at the owner of my company's house picking up a fish tank. And when I got there, I texted him, you know, when I get anywhere nowadays, I text my friends, like, what's a doorbell? I need to get out of my car. What is this stuff, you know? And he noted, you know, you're just like my son and his friends. You just text people when you're here. And I'm just like, really, there's this huge thing now. Like, I haven't gone to a door to get someone in forever. I call them a Valentine's, you know. You know, nowadays I think the sound of someone knocking on the door sounds angry. What are you doing? Text me, man. I'm here. Calm down.
It's true. I also just call somebody whenever I drive up to pick them up or something. And I think about that a lot. I'm like, you know, gosh, I mean, you know, I'm young enough that technology has been around for most of my life, this kind of thing. But I'm still old enough to remember whenever we barely ever texted anybody. And we usually called people, and we also just went to people's doors whenever we were there, you know.
I remember having to call girls in the house and talk to the dad to talk to girls.
Yeah, me
now,
too.
Now everyone has their own phone. Kids will never know the pain. But that's
it's
kind of off topic.
Yeah.
We should rein it back into tonight's topic. And I suppose, what do you think the implications are of online communities and how they change our day-to-day lives? Does that make sense as a question? The implications of online communities? We'll just go ahead.
Yeah.
Sunstone. I brought you on.
Oh, okay. That's a very interesting question, and it's one that I've actually thought a little bit about. And I can see, like, two angles to it. One is that what seems to be happening so often, now RF doesn't do this, but a lot of places do this, is that people are forming these communities where they all think alike. You know, like all conservatives go to this one site, or this one site specializes in people that all believe in the same dogma. And so the internet in that respect is dividing people into little bubbles where everybody thinks alike and they never confront people that think differently. And RF is different in that. We bring in people from all different points of view and put them together. But the other thing that I was thinking about is that, as opposed to that little bubble thing, RF has an international, not RF, I mean the internet has an international reach. And we nowadays are getting to make friends with people in all countries. And maybe that's going to be a very, very good, positive thing in the future.
That is true. Actually, I think I mentioned it on our episode about globalization, and I was kind of thinking about how the internet makes, I guess if you're calling bubbles, I would call I just had a whole brain fart. But Dio had something he called them. What did you call them, Dio? We have another caller, too. I'm going to see who this is. Dio and Dred, you guys talk for a minute. I don't know.
All right, are you calling for Dionysus?
Yes.
I got to go here in a second, but I was just thinking about some of the negative sides of technology. What's really bad is when you're with close friends and family, and one of those rare times where you're actually able to interact with them face to face. You know, we've gotten to where we're so tied to our gadgets and our phones and the internet that a lot of times we'll be right there in the company of loved ones, and yet we'll be diverting our attention to people online. And,
all right, real quick.
You know, I think that's a shame.
Yeah.
We have a special caller in all the way from Australia, from the university. It's Bruce.
Good day, Mike.
Hey, good day, Bruce.
University of Wallamaloo. Well, I haven't been listening, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's a bunch of nonsense.
It is definitely a bunch of nonsense. What do you think is nonsense, though?
Well, you know, the reason I called, and I'm sorry to interrupt your show, but what I was thinking is, I thought my segment today was so good, maybe you should consider replacing Well Named with myself. Have you thought about that?
Well, that's an interesting idea.
Tells you how much he gets paid. He only makes three frubles a month off of doing this.
Well, you know, things are a bit hard right now for me, so I could probably make that work. What I was thinking really was kind of a song and dance number each week. I know it's radio, so you can't see dancing, but that's probably all right, because I'm not a very good dancer. But maybe, like, next week I'll come in with some opera.
I think it's a good idea. You know, thank you, Well Named, but goodbye, everyone. Meet Bruce.
All right. Well, you know,
you
my dinner's on right now, so if we're deciding on that, I'm just going to leave you there and get back to talking about relationships or Sheila's globalization, sex. I don't know what you're on about, but have a good day, and I love all of you, especially you, Orbit. Talk to you later.
Good day, Bruce. Get back to grilling the shrimp on the bobby.
All right. So, Orbit, how do you feel about Bruce's love? How do you feel about Bruce's love?
About Bruce's love? I think I missed something. I didn't hear it.
Oh, he was like, I love you all, especially you, Orbit.
Oh, how sweet. Okay, now send me flowers.
So what do you think the implications are?
Huh?
You've been asking for flowers for a while now, so I think this is why you don't like online communities. Less flowers.
Flowers. I need flowers, yes. I need flowers.
But e-flowers don't count, right?
Say again?
Do you want e-flowers? Like, I can send you a picture of a flower.
No, that's the thing, man, with real life. I want a real flower. It's impossible to get anybody to send you real flowers these days. This is my particular, like, obsession that I'm always talking about in chat. So you'll have to forgive me. Yeah. E-flowers don't do it.
If you could find out where you teach and have it sent to one of your classes while you're teaching in front of all your students.
that would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
The giant speaking note saying very inappropriate things.
Oh, they would laugh at me so hard. But in terms of online community, I live in a really – I grew up a city girl. I spent most of my life in Los Angeles. But now I live in a really, really rural area. And if it wasn't for online communities, I think I would shrivel up and die. There just aren't like-minded people here. It's a really small, small town. It's just the only thing here is the college, really. It's pretty much a college town, but it's not big enough to be a really cool college town. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, stuff like RF, I think I would feel really, really isolated.
I can understand that feeling. And, again, I think it goes somewhat to what Sunfin was saying before about not only having it there all the time, but it's something you're instantly going to connect to because it brings like-minded people. Now, have you guys seen anywhere else where you could find this, that sense of community you find here? Where would you go look for this beforehand? I mean, you guys are both old enough to know what it's like living without these things, so what would...
Well, back in my day, which was before we rode horses, Mick, back then we used to have these things called coffee shops. And you went to the coffee shop and met people
Wi-Fi?
There. No, there wasn't Wi-Fi in the coffee shop. That was still in the future. But you went to the coffee shop. You walked, because this was before horses even. You walked to the coffee shop, and then you sat down there, and you met other people. And this was called socialization.
No, I heard that's a myth. I saw a picture of the train today, everyone with their phone. And there was like a picture of the 1920s, and everyone with their face buried in the newspaper. Aren't we just always antisocial?
Well, always antisocial? I don't think so. I think back in the old days it was a lot of fun because you could go down to the coffee shop. This is serious. You could go down there on Tuesday night and count 200 people, and you would know most of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of online dating?
What do we think about what?
Online dating.
Oh, gosh.
I don't do it.
Just in my life experience, the best people that you meet them by accident. You don't meet them on an online dating site. You meet them by accident, whether it's online or off. I think something happens. Like, when you go looking for that, it makes it impossible to find it, I think.
I agree.
It's just not natural.
As a married person, I agree.
I think it does.
As you are, it's in the air.
Yeah, I think it does change people's standards. Like with things like Tinder, you know, where you just swipe left or right, you know, it gives people this idea that there's all these options out there, and you can just deny or accept somebody just like that, you know. And I think that can promote unhealthy habits.
Good point, Dred.
Yeah, it's like the commodification of love. You know, it's like each person is like a product on the shelf on things like Tinder, right? And they put their little advertisement out there. And it's just not human.
Well said, Orbit, because I think that commoditization of love is just spot on.
Yeah.
Turns everybody into sugar or petroleum.
Yeah, that's true. What you were saying about the coffee shop thing reminded me of something I read once. It was in an interview with Kurt Vonnegut, and some people may know he was considered a Luddite or a Luddite. You know, he wasn't too fond of technology. And one of the points he brought up was, this may have been before the internet was really widespread, but he was talking about how, like, you know, he enjoyed walking to the post office to, you know, get stamps or get something like that, to write or something like that. And, you know, because he goes out, for one thing, it just gives you something to do. He gets out of the house and he meets new people, interesting people, and he just gets to talk with people. And I think there is something to be said about that. It's so easy now to just look up anything at home. Like, whenever I have to find something to buy, I usually just look it up on the internet first, find out where has it, how much it is, that sort of thing. And then I just
Amazon
go out and get
it.
Yeah. So it's convenient, but I also feel like we are missing out on something whenever we take that convenience sometimes.
Yeah. I also think that there's something about face-to-face contact where you get to pick up on expressions and body language, and it's richer than just going online.
It's true. I do think that there's a lot of good to online, but I think it's best, I don't know what the best word to to use. It's best in addition to real physical socialization, I think. In some respects, sometimes we use it as a substitute, and it's okay because maybe we don't have a better opportunity. But in other respects, I think that it's important not to substitute real interaction too much. So, with that, we'll take a short break, and we're going to play a song, another song by my old band. Our band was named Sundog, and this song is called Llama.
Welcome back to Radio RF. And again, that was Dreadfish playing. And just real quick, could you tell us what the name of your band and song was again?
The band is Sundog, or was Sundog, and the song is Llama. Has nothing to do with the content. And I don't know if you can hear it, but I played based on that song.
Okay, and again, if you want to have your music played on Radio RF, you can submit it to the Dreadfisher Eye, either in PM, or I usually just give people my email so they can email it to me. And mostly we take MP3 format, as well as for the segments, as you see people introduce to the show. So if you just want to hear your voice talking about whatever, shoot us, you know, a 5-minute segment and send me the MP3 file. We can play that. And we have the art that's being displayed, and that's by Sunstone, who's also a guest on tonight's show. And if you want your art to be displayed, again, just send it to us. And it can be paintings, drawings, graphic designs. And if you write poetry or short story, I'd love to hear you come on to Radio RF and share your poetry or your story with us. I think that'd be another great way to make a great kind of episode or whatever. So tonight's episode is about online communities and friendships and how they compare to the real thing. And, well, I don't know where Facebook people fall, because Facebook people fall in this category of, well, you have different groups of Facebook people. You have your real friends on Facebook. You have people you know in real life who are your Facebook friends. And then you just have straight-up Facebook friends. But quote-unquote, people call this thing as a Facebook real, you know, and it's supposed to be this illusion that the two are one and the same. And I find that the Facebook community is the online community that's lacking the most in form of any amount of compassion or community or connectiviness. And really anywhere. I mean, there's not the same amount of stimulant conversation, same amount of companionship, or even support that you see on RF, I see on Facebook. Like, I remember when my mom was struggling for a few years ago, and everyone very kindly, you know, donated some money to my mom, and she was able to stay, you know, afloat in regards to her bills. And not a single person from Facebook donated. It was only people I knew from RF. And, you know, there's just things like that that kind of make me question these things sometimes. I kind of have an extensive history doing forums online, but I suppose I can get into that into another episode. But this isn't my first, but it very well will probably be my last. Awesome, and I don't see myself going anywhere for a very long time. Because you guys are gonna give me a reason. So, suppose we should have a last topic for the end of the show, or maybe some last thoughts on the topic. So, Orbit, what are your last thoughts on tonight's episode?
My last thoughts on online communities. They're great for people like me in a rural area. I mean, it really is a lifesaver. I don't think that it can substitute for real-life friendships. In fact, I find myself really wanting to meet the people that I connect with on RF in person, because maybe it's an age thing. Maybe it's because I'm older and I'm used to the face-to-face contact. But it's like the online community is great. The face-to-face community is something that I need. I need them both, I guess.
I'm a hugger, just putting that out there. So, I mean, you can't hug a computer screen very well. So I can understand that. There's a thread actually going on right now. What would you do with, you know, a forum member or something like that in the games and section? And I think my answer for everyone here is hugged. I think that's really the number one thing I can't do with everyone here is share a hug, you know? Like, some people are like, oh, I'll have a drink, but, like, technically, if you're on this end of the computer and I'm on this, and we're both drinking, aren't we drinking together? Am I the only one who sees it that way? Swear I'm not drinking alone. There are people on the computer. Okay. So, Sunstone, what are your thoughts on tonight's episode? I'm not actually drinking yet. Just putting it out there and just loud. Hello, Sunstone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, basically, I really agree with Orbit. I mean, I find one of the biggest things about online communities is how many people I get to meet that I really like, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword, because the first thing that I do after I like somebody is I want to meet them. And if that's impossible because they're 10,000 miles away and I don't have a plane ticket, it's kind of frustrating.
Okay. So people still crave real connections. I think this is important for us all to know about ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Greg, what are your closing thoughts for tonight's episode?
Well, since I've been thinking about this a lot due to classes, I think that it's neutral and it all depends on how you use it. So I think that socialization and community through technology online has potential for great things, and it also has potential for great detriment too. So it all depends on how you use it. And since we're really at the birth of this and integrating it into our lifestyles, it's very important that we begin to approach it now with the proper mindset.
Okay, and I think with that, we'll say good night, good morning, good evening.
Good now.
Oh, and we'll do better next time, as in the famous words of Bruce, not Bruce.